We just sang a song about heaven, want to be great when we get there. But we're only going to get there if we remain faithful to our Lord. And if you're not a Christian, then hopefully something will be said today that will encourage you to make that decision to obey our Lord and be baptized into Him so that you can have that hope of eternal life. What a shame it would be to miss out on something that you had right there in your hand. Story is told of a woman who was sitting at the next to an empty seat at the Super Bowl. A man behind her, as the game progressed, said something to her like, why is that seat empty? And the lady explained, it was my husband's seat. And he passed away. He died. And the man looked at the lady and he goes, well, I can't imagine that a relative or a friend wouldn't want to jump at the opportunity to be able to sit at that seat or sit in his seat. She said, well, I don't understand it either. But they all decided on going to his funeral instead. You might say that wife had her priorities in the wrong place. When each one of us became a Christian, one of the things, as we've mentioned, there are some things that need to change in our lives. We've looked at the vocabulary, the words that we say, and the way that we present those words. We need to be careful that when we become a Christian, there needs to be changes. We no longer gossip. We no longer say words that are profane or vulgar. We don't talk about things that we shouldn't be talking about. We use our words to build each other up. We use our words to present the gospel to the world. Now, sometimes we fail in that area. But as a Christian, we are striving to become better and better at using our words in the right way. I mentioned in another lesson that one of the other changes that needs to take place in our lives is priorities. As we've seen, this lady that we talked about had her priorities in the wrong place. And sometimes as Christians, we get our priorities out of whack also. In other words, we put the wrong things first and put the right things lower down in our priority list. A priority is something that has first importance in our lives. It's those things that we place a higher value on than any other thing. And so as we look at our lives, we need to ask ourselves, what are we putting a great value on? What are we making a number one priority in our lives? The Bible teaches us that the book or the Bible is full of priorities. We find in that book, we find God's priorities, what He thinks is important, and we see man's priorities. Our point that we need to understand that God's priorities should be our priorities. But sometimes as we get caught up in life, we again get those things out of whack. We don't do the things that we should. We talk a good talk, but we don't always walk that good walk. The Bible encourages us to examine our lives, to ask ourselves, where are we headed in this life? What direction are we going? If I continue on this path, where am I going to end up? Will I end up in heaven, or will I end up in that other place called hell, a place of torment? I don't want to go there. I hope you don't want to go there. And anyone that understands what it is, I know they don't want to go there, because it's not a place of any pleasantries. It's a place of pain and agony, which will take place forever and ever. The Bible encourages us to look at its word. Look at what's in there. It is a map. It is a guide. It is a lamp. As it says in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When we don't know where we're going, we need something that will guide us and tell us how to get there. Used to be, we would get out a map and you'd unfold that map and you'd find the highway that you wanted to take. Now we've got someone that we can plug in or we have in our dash that tells us how to get there. And sometimes we get annoyed at that person. And sometimes we don't want to listen to the directions that they give. Sometimes we get off the track and you hear it telling us to turn around or get back on the right on the right path. Why? Because it knows where we need to go. Guess what? God's Word knows where we need to go. And it's telling us repeatedly what we need to do to get where God wants us to go. But sometimes we want to ignore what the Word says. We don't want to listen to that roadmap. And Jesus tells us that there's only two roads that we have to travel. There's only two places, two opportunities, two choices that we have. There's no middle road. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." What road are you on this morning? Are you on that road, that broad road that leads to destruction? Or are you on that narrow road that leads to life eternal? I think that's an important question that we all need to ask ourselves. Because as we travel in this life, it's so easy to get off at an exit that the devil wants us to get off on. It's so easy to take the wrong turn. It's so easy to do the wrong thing. It's so easy to get our priorities in the wrong place. There's a big difference between the temporary and the eternal priorities. We've been created with a spiritual thirst that nobody or nothing can satisfy except for God. Mankind has a hunger. It has a thirst for something. People have an empty feeling. They realize they don't have the peace. People realize that they don't have something that's good that will help them, that can sustain them. That emptiness makes us search for what's missing in this life. And we look for something that will help us to get through this life. And some people put a lot of things in as a substitute for what should be in their lives to help guide them. People turn to all the wrong kind of things. Instead of turning to God, who can direct them in a way that will cause them to have peace here on this earth, but eternal life in the hereafter. Paul in the New Testament encourages us to examine our priorities in our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, he says, "But thou, O man, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Paul's telling us that if we're going to serve God, then there's certain priorities that we need to have in our lives. That we need to be working on righteousness in our lives. That we need to have that godliness, that faith and love and patience and meekness. All those things that Timothy was told that he needed to have in his life. How? Why? So that we can fight that fight. We know that there's a battle going on. We want to do what's right. I believe that most of us that are Christians in this room today want to do what's right. And we realize that sometimes that's difficult to do. But it'll only happen if we make it happen. We have to have the desire to make it happen. We have to want it. You know, sometimes we'll say, "Well, I'll try." I think sometimes in that word, "I'll try," we already have a little avenue of defeat. Because we're already building in that if I try, well, I'll probably fail. And so I think that sometimes when we say, "I'll try," we're looking for that way to fail. And what we need to say is, "I will." When Paul had said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me," he didn't say, "I think I can do a lot of stuff in Christ." He said, "I can do all things." God's Word will help us to live a righteous life, to be godly, to have that faith, have that trust, have that patience and meekness that we should have. Why do we need to examine ourselves? Why do we need to make sure that we're on the right road? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 and 13 give us a little clue. It tells us there, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." God looks at your record. When God looks at the things that you do, how will you end up? Where are you going to be? You see, you can't travel that broad way and end up in heaven. You have to make a choice. Making a living and making a life are two different goals. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, as we go through this life, God's priorities and our priorities sometimes struggle. We want to do what's right. We want to be righteous. We want to have God's priorities. But sometimes those things that are temporary get in the way. And that's where the struggle begins. And who wins out on those battles? History tells us that there was 11 millionaires on the Titanic when it sank. One of those millionaires was the name of Major A.H. Pukin. He left $300,000 of his money, jewelry, and securities in a box in his cabin. After the Titanic hit that iceberg and they knew it was going down. As he got off of that boat, you know what he took with him instead of all those riches? 3 oranges. You see, sometimes in life we think money's so important, but there comes a point in our lives where we realize that there are other things that are of much more importance than those things that are temporary. He realized that orange could help feed him, maybe feed others. But then money, as he floated out there in the ocean, wasn't going to do anything for him anymore. That's the way we are sometimes. We get our priorities mixed up and we think that all the things that the world offers are so important. You see, money is kind of a tricky friend. It deceives us into thinking that we need it. But when we get to the end and we realize that that's not so important, we begin to think about what really is. And sometimes it's too late. Having the wrong priorities in our life is kind of like buttoning your shirt or buttoning your coat. When you button your coat, you want to make sure that you get the buttons and the buttonholes in the right place. Because if you don't, guess what? As you start up here at the top and you work your way down, if you got them out of alignment, guess what? They're going to be out of alignment all the way down. Now, as we've gotten older, hopefully we don't do that so much anymore. Maybe thinking that's why we got zippers. But the point is, if we start off right, everything else is going to line up. If we put our priorities in the right place, all those other things will fall into the right place. And so we have to put the important things. We have to put God. We have to put family. We have to put all these things that are important to us in their right priority. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We have to make sure that we realize the things that are important in this life. I read a story not too long ago about two paddle boats that was going down the Mississippi. They left Memphis. They had their cargo on board. And as they were progressing down the river, the sailors on each ship started heckling each other, and it began to be a race to see who could get to the port of New Orleans the fastest. They started dumping all their coal in the boat. They started putting it in the furnace to get the boat to go faster and faster. And before you know it, one of the boats started to fall back. They'd ran out of coal. But the sailor realized that, hey, we can throw other stuff in the fire and it'll get the power going again. And so they started to throw the furniture, and then they started to throw the cargo, and they got back in the lead and they began to win the race. But when they got to their port, their cargo was gone. They'd burned it all up. But they won the race. Now, if you were the ship's owner, what would you do with those sailors? You see, we're stewards. We're not owners of all these things that God's blessed us with. I would imagine that owner of the ship would be very upset that the cargo had been destroyed so that they could win a race. And it seems quite foolish, but isn't that what we do sometimes? We get caught up in all the temporal things, and we forget about the eternal things. We are stewards and not owners of all that we have. The pace of our lives often take priority over the most important things that God wants us to focus on. How often do we miss service because we would rather be somewhere else and by choice? How many times have we watched television as opposed to spending time with our family? How many times have we gone to a place where we were enjoying as opposed to going and maybe studying with someone the Word of God? Or visiting someone that was sick? Sometimes we get our priorities in the wrong place. God warns us to take a good look at those priorities. And making ourselves number one doesn't bring contentment. He directs a warning to His people who were only living for themselves. And we can find that warning in Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. An Old Testament example, which I think is very relevant for us today, because they had their priorities in the wrong place. Because we find there, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 1, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in bags with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." What's God saying? You're doing all of this for the wrong things. You work and you put it in bags that have holes in it. You ever had a pocket with a hole in it? Used to irritate my wife to death because when I get a hole in my pocket, instead of telling her about it, I just staple it up. But when you put your money in those holes, in those pockets with holes, guess what? If you're not careful, before long, if you're lucky, you'll feel something hit your shoe or hit your foot. You find your money's falling out on the ground. If you don't know it, guess what? You're going to walk down the road. You're going to lose your money as you go along. If you're not paying attention, you're going to lose your money. That's the picture. God says, when we have our priorities in the wrong place, we're losing out on something that is very, very valuable. Something that can last for eternity. But we're allowing it to slip out of the holes in our pockets, or the holes in your purse. On Judgment Day, I believe God's going to check on at least three things that we can measure our priorities at during this lifetime. Three important things that all of us, I think, can look at and see where our priorities are. One of those areas, I think, will be our schedule. What do we spend most of our time doing? What do we spend most of our time doing it, and who are we doing it for? Charles Francis Adams, a 19th century politician and diplomat, went fishing with his son one day. He kept a diary, and so did his son. His son, Brooke Adams, wrote in his diary, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." His father, Charles, wrote in his diary on that same day, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." Who had their priorities in the right place? Sometimes as moms and dads, we need to realize that our family is important. That time that we spend with them, quality time that we spend with them, is something that is very important. Do we look at it as a waste of time? I'd read that, I thought, how sad. Wonder how that affected his son. How much time do you spend with God? How much of your time do you give to God on a daily basis? You say, "Well, I'm here on Sunday. That should be enough. It's all He requires." I mentioned last week, if the Lord just told us the bare minimum that we had to do, would you be content to just do the bare minimum? Or would you do more? You know, when you take your car in, mechanic comes out and says, "This and this 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 is all wrong, and you need to get it fixed." You say, "I have no money. I don't have enough money to fix this and all that stuff. So what do I have to get fixed?" "Well, you should replace the ball joints. You should fix the tie rod ends. That's the bare minimum." Now, what does that mean after you've done the bare minimum? After you've done the bare minimum, guess what? There's still something wrong. There's still something that needs to be fixed. And I think that that says something about us. That if we're looking at God and saying, "I want to do the bare minimum," that there's still something wrong with our heart. There's still something that needs to be fixed. There's still something that needs to be adjusted. But how many of us are content on trying to give just the minimum and still be able to say that, "Yes, I'm a Christian"? So God's going to look at our schedule, I think. He's also going to look at our spending. And I think that those are areas that we can examine our own selves. When we look at our spending, what are we spending our money on? Would we be embarrassed if God saw what we bought and how much we spent on it? You see, our checkbook is a record of what priorities are in our lives. I've always said it's a good time of the year. Tax time's coming up, April 15th. And we kind of look at our finances. Everybody has to figure out how much money they made last year so they can put it on the form and fill it out. But I think that it's also a good time that as we look on that amount, that we look at how much we spend on our entertainment, on our living expenses, how much we give to God. Would we be embarrassed if the Lord could see our checkbooks? Oh, I know you're thinking, "Well, He can see my checkbook." And yes, He does. Our spending reveals our priority. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Are you investing in the kingdom of God? Are you investing in the life that God wants you to use so that you can have that home in heaven in the hereafter? Oh, we can't buy our way there. We don't earn our way there. It's a gift. But how much do we love God Luke chapter 12, verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where's your heart? You see, God deserves to be first and the best from everything that we have. Mentioned our speech. The day of judgment, our words are going to be given account of. Do spiritual things excite us? Or do they bore us? Would you rather talk about God or the latest television show that's on the television? God's word should mean something to us. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, "A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." What's in your heart? What's important to you comes out in what you say, what you talk about. Do you talk about God to your friends? "Oh no, they don't want to hear that. I don't want to talk about that. So I'd rather gossip a little bit, rather talk about somebody else." Why? Because we've got our priorities in the wrong place. And so we need to get our priorities where they should be. You see, the choices that we make lead to a long-term joy. People, you hear people say, "Oh, I want to be happy." But they allow their circumstances, the things outside, things that are external, to affect whether or not they have joy and happiness in their lives. Joy is there in our lives no matter what the circumstances are. We are thankful for what God has blessed us with. As we've talked a little bit this morning about problems that we face, there can be a ton of problems in our lives. But when those problems are taking place, how many of us take the time to look at all the things that are good that are happening in our lives? We always have something to have joy about. If we're a Christian, that relationship that we have with God should bring joy to our hearts. Does it? You see, God is the source of that deep and satisfying joy. You remember what I said earlier? That people have a thirst for something. Do you fill that thirst with what God's done for you? Three ways that people can deal with life. We can take the road that is most traveled. Most people are content to live that normal life, what the world calls a normal life. I like to refer to that as an abnormal life. If we're doing what God wants us to do, that really should be the normal life. And to do anything opposite of what God wants should be the abnormal life. But that's not the way our world looks at it. And sometimes that's not the way we look at it. You see, we try to fit in with the majority to live what they consider to be the good life. And that's when we start to travel that broad way, when we want to be like everybody else and turn our backs on what God wants us to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What's he saying? He's saying that a Christian shouldn't be like the world. We shouldn't conform to the world. We shouldn't do what the world does. We're to be different. When you look at your life in comparison to the world, do they see a difference in your life? You see, God wants us to change and be what He wants us to be. He wants us to change the things that we prioritize in our life. He wants to be the focus of our love and our attention. He wants everything that we have to be used to glorify His name. There are many times in life that we get caught up with all the things in the world. Things that we think that are so important. It's kind of like that monkey that I talked about who the way they would capture it, they used to build a box and put a little hole in it, put a fig inside, and the monkey could reach in and grab a hold of it. If he'd let go, he'd be free. But he wouldn't let go. And he'd be taken captive. That's kind of the way we are in this life. We get a hold of something that we know we should let go of. Sin that's in our life, no, we should let go of it. But we won't. And before long, we're going to be lost eternally. Because we just would not let go. As Anthony read for us, Jesus said, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What's Jesus saying? Jesus says, God knows what you need. So make these things that are important to him a priority in your life, and you don't have to worry about all those other things. They'll be taken care of. But do we trust him? We can pursue the things that we think will make us happy, but they're not going to bring happiness. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be it be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You see, we get caught up in some of these things that aren't important, because we're still carnally minded. We haven't changed our desires. We haven't changed our goals. We haven't changed our priorities. Because we're still thinking like the world. And as long as we're thinking like the world, we're going to act like the world. And that's why we need to change our lives. Solomon experimented with a lot of things in the pursuit of pleasure. And one of the good things that came out of that is the lessons that he teaches us, because that means that we don't have to go out and experience those things. We can learn from what he says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, listen to what he said. "I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasures, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till it might see what was that good of the Son of Man, which they should do under the heavens all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered to me silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. And I gave me men singers and women singers, and the delight of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that they before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labors, and this was my portion of my labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." We can learn a lesson from Solomon. He had all those things, did all those things, but he realized it didn't satisfy his soul. Do we allow the world to try to satisfy our soul? If we do, it's not going to happen. True satisfaction is only going to come through our Lord. There was a rich young man that came to Jesus one time. Matthew chapter 19, verses 20, or beginning of verse 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" That's a very important question. Because there's a lot of people that lack one thing. Oh, they may live a good life. They may try to do all the right things. But maybe they're lacking the fact that they haven't obeyed the gospel. You can't get to heaven without obeying the gospel. Maybe as a Christian, you're still hanging on to something. What's that one thing you lack? You've kept a lot of the good things. You've done a lot of the righteous things that the Bible talks about, but there's still that one thing that you're holding on to. This young man was holding on to something that was very dear to him. And this is what Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I often wondered, how would we react if we were that rich young man? Would we react any different? Would we go away sorrowful if the Lord told us to do that? Now think about what he was sorrowful over. Jesus says, sell your possessions, come follow me. Which one's more valuable? Possessions or following Jesus? You see, when the young man died, those possessions, were they going with him? Nope. But what could go with him? You see, he could follow Jesus right on to glory. So which one was more valuable? Which one's more valuable to you? Your possessions or being able to follow Christ? You know, we can seek God's purpose in our lives by doing the things that He tells us. By looking at His life, we can see what's important. He realized a priority in Jesus' life was to pray. We find on occasions where he got up very early in the morning, went out into a secluded place so that he could pray. We find various times where he prayed. Is that a priority in your life? We see that it was a priority in our Lord's life to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that a priority in your life? We find multiple occasions where he taught people what they needed to know. In fact, in this example that we just talked about, the young man, he told him what he needed to know to be saved. Do you have that as a priority in your life, to tell people what they need to hear and do so that they can have eternal life? See, we see all of those things as a priority in our Lord's life. In fact, He protected His time from other people's agendas. He didn't allow other people to control Him. He realized He needed to be about His Father's business. And so many times we allow other people to control our agenda and cause us to fail to do what we know we should be doing as a Christian. John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone. You see, they wanted to make him a king. They were going to do something. He wasn't going to allow that to happen. He knew that his priorities were in the right order. Don't let people change your priorities when you know that they're right. Do what the Lord says, and we will live a long and prosperous life and end up in heaven in the hereafter. If you're not a Christian, Jesus tells us what you need to do. He makes it quite simple when he tells us in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that today. We find other places where he says that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. You need to repent of your sins. We find in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 32, where he talks about confessing his name before men. If we'll confess him before men, he'll confess us before his Father which is in heaven. And so today, you can put your faith in him, turn from your sins, confess that great name before men, and be buried with our Lord in baptism. Say, I don't think I need to be baptized. I don't think that's necessary. Jesus still said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I would trust in the roadmap, not in what somebody else says, because the Lord is right. We find in every example in the New Testament and book of Acts where people obey the gospel, they were baptized into Christ. Why? Because baptism is what puts you into the body of Christ, puts you into that saved condition. In order to stay there, you must be faithful to our Lord while you're here on this earth. So this morning, if you need to respond, we would encourage you to do so. You have that opportunity while we stand and sing.